saying, are you ready?
3, 2, 1. This is the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast. Your hosts are Oily Maguire, Sordid Sarin. Hang on, hang on. Has anyone seen the shovel to dig up Gazza? We need air fresheners too. He proper humdings. Sorry, yes, Gazza will be here. And the living legend that is truly wonderful, famous, best-selling author, actor and podcast host, Dino. Have a good episode, lads. I'll see you at the outro. Is that Gary I can smell?
Hello and welcome to Morning Kickoff. I'm Gazza and today I'm joined by Dino and Ollie.
Here's what's coming up in the show.
Who you gone fodding? Clement?
Seaman.
United? Mm. Fucking hell. You know Seaman. Mm-hmm. It's all down your mouth. Give it to Turner's side.
Yeah, I did do that. But let me explain.
You are the world's worst referee. Once they take them labels off and they can trust these people not to drink Domestos, you can then say that fans won't be responsible, you know, or can be responsible at football matches.
Welcome to episode 16. Today we have no Sorin. So, Dino and Ollie, what did you get up to at the weekend?
We had a barbecue and watched Grimsby Town FC.
We did, yeah. We did quite a lot, didn't we, this weekend? We watched Grimsby. We had the barbecue. Sorin gave us all food poisoning. Actually, he did give me a bit of food poisoning, I think.
Did he?
Got home and the trots. Mm.
What did he cook?
What didn't he cook? He was like, I'm having 3 steaks. How many do you want?
Yeah. Cooked loads, just constantly went out and cooked more. It's probably why he's not here.
It could be. That's probably the main reason.
Yeah, but other than that, it was good, and I enjoyed the food. I enjoyed it going in, just didn't enjoy it
coming out.
Yeah.
Always the way at a barbecue.
Yeah,
first one of the year,
and it was also my first viewing of Grimsby. Actually, I've never seen them play, so that was dull.
First and last.
You'll be waiting for a long time yet because they were terrible, but we'll discuss that in a bit. What did you get up to, Gazza? Out or note?
Worked Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. Me and my partner Sharon went up to watch Havant play. Unfortunately, they lost 2-1, so I think that's them down, relegated. Sunday was my mum and my son's birthday, so we had a bit of a family gathering, bit of brunch. And then in the afternoon, I went up to watch the Spurs Forest game, which I'll touch on later.
Lovely.
As there's no Sorin,
I'll tell you what I did. I refereed my first game back after
my ban.
I refereed Turner's game for his team.
Yeah, he gave me a score of 4 out of 10 for you.
No, he didn't.
And he gave me a score of 4 out of 10 for you, and he said you made a howler.
No, absolutely.
You changed your mind on giving a free kick because you were wrong.
That's true.
There you go.
Yeah, I did do that.
No, and he said you was worth 4 out of 10, but he had to give you a decent score on the card. Apparently, I don't know.
He messaged me saying you didn't get involved that much and it was good.
He said you were reckless with your decisions and he gave you a low score.
Rubbish.
Honestly, how would I know that you reversed the decision?
If he's done that.
You said to me that you always stick to the decision you make and you won't ever backtrack.
What?
But apparently, on this occasion, you made a howler, and then when you offered the free kick to the other side, you then reversed your decision and give it to Turner's side.
Yeah, I did do that. But let me explain.
You are the world's worst referee. Last 2 weeks ago, you was using VAR that you can't use, someone videoing the game. You come back.
Right, even worse, which I then had to apologise to the players. I didn't give them any chance to get back to like sort themselves out when I changed my mind.
So it was just a quick free kick.
I gave them a free kick, changed my mind, then let the other team take a quick free kick and just played on.
Did they score?
Well, they got close. And I was like, thank God they didn't score. Thank God, because I should have given them a chance to say, right, I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
Get yourself back sorted. But I allowed them to take a quick free kick. That was, my biggest mistake the whole game.
There was a video actually of Turner giving you a tenner after the game as well.
You know, he didn't. Actually, I tried to bribe him, but no, he didn't. Because the FA could be listening to this. I'm already in the bad books. Don't get me done for bribing as well.
Who's got shout outs this week?
Yep, I've got one. I like to shout out the team I'm going to be refereeing now. That's what I'm going to do.
Obi Joby Kenobi.
Chris is a traitor for like every week. So
Chris is still listening.
Yep, but he doesn't get to get a shout out. But I'm actually going to give my main shout out to the two teams I'm refereeing this week, which are Wick Dynamos Juniors under 14 Reds and Lancing United under 14 Colts.
Very nice. My shout outs are Joel Cross, William Sevier, Philip Emerson, Tracy Glover, Patricia Cottrell, Roy Munson, and Andrew Armstrong. There are some others, but I can't remember who they were. But anyway, they're the ones off social media that asked for a shout out. It has been done.
Cool. My shout outs this week, I've got Dean McGinn, who's an Arsenal season ticket holder and work colleague. Also like to give Ross Warner a quick shout out. Happened goalkeeper, who got me a couple of tickets for the weekend game. And lastly, Nick Wells and Dan Arnold, who I met up at Tottenham yesterday. Well, I went with Nick and met Dan up there. So yeah, big shout out to them as well.
Coming up next, League Two Roundup.
Man, I love your soccer show. We gotta hold it there, the guys, and get this fucking awful advert out the way. Back soon.
Do you have a fleet of diesel vehicles in the south of England? Do you always have downtime with vehicles lost in workshops? Call Williams Diesels, your one-stop shop for on-site repairs. Williams Diesels, voted London's best fleet mobile repairer for London 2024. Services, repairs, MOTs, safety inspections, brakes and clutches, all done on-site. We are mobile to keep you mobile. Do you replace windscreens due to chips or cracks? We repair chips and cracks for our customers, reducing the need for a replacement and saving you money. Call now to find out how we can save you time and, more importantly, money. Call 0753 7171 606 or visit us at williamsdiesels.com. Williams Diesels, we are mobile to keep you mobile.
League Two results, fixtures, news, and views with Dino. Or it could be Dean ranting about how Grimsby lost. Over to you, Dean.
League Two results. Accrington 0, Crewe 0. Wimbledon 1, Salford 0. Barrow 0, Swindon 2. Bradford 1, Gillingham 0. Colchester 1, Wrexham 2. Forest Green 0, MK Dons 2. Grimsby 1, Newport 0. Mansfield 1, Crawley 4. Morecambe 0, Doncaster 3. Notts County 3, Harrogate 0. Sutton United 1, Stockport 3. Tranmere 1, Walsall 3.
Olivier, can we have the fixtures for Saturday, please?
Yes, scan Saturday, April the 13th. Skybet League Two fixtures. Crawley Town versus Colchester United. Crewe Alexandra versus Grimsby Town. Doncaster Rovers versus Accrington Stanley. Gillingham versus Barrow. Harrogate Town versus Sutton United. Milton Keynes Dons versus Mansfield Town. Newport versus Tranmere Rovers. Salford City versus Bradford City. Stockport County versus Morecambe. Swindon Town versus AFC Wimbledon, Walsall versus Notts County, Wrexham versus Forest Green.
Thank you very much, sir. And your post-match stat pack is as follows. MK Dons have never lost an EFL game against Forest Green Rovers in six attempts. After their 2-0 win on Saturday, 1-5, drawn 1. Dons have never faced a side more often in the EFL without suffering defeat. Crawley Town have won four consecutive away games for the first time in the Football League after defeating Mansfield Town 4-1. It's also the first time that the Red Devils have scored 4-plus goals in consecutive EFL matches on the road. Also, fucked up an acker. I have to bleep that out, actually. Fucked up several fucking ackers. Yep. Bleep that out as well. Swindon Town ended a run of 9 away league games without a win, drawn 2, lost 7, by claiming a 2-0 victory over Barrow on Saturday. It's the first time that they've won a league match on the road since November 2023, and the first whilst also keeping a clean sheet since December 2022, and they also beat Barrow 1-0. Doncaster Rovers have won 6 EFL games in succession for the first time since November 2003 after they defeated Morecambe 3-0. Stockport County's Paddy Madden netted a first half hat trick against Sutton United, with that the third treble of his career in the EFL. He's the only player to score a hat trick home and away against an opponent in the top four tiers of English football. this season, after also doing so in the reverse fixture against Sutton in December.
Paul Mullin
scored his 100th goal for Wrexham in their 2-1 win over Colchester United. Go on, Wrexham.
Super Paul Mullin.
Super Paul Mullin. Now, I had Olivier and Sorin round for drinks and barbecue, and we watched the Grimsby Newport game, and it was horrific.
Yeah, it was dull, to say the least, I think.
Mm, yeah. This is kind of like how...
But is that Grimsby every week?
No, it has been of late. It's been awful. Although Danny Rose netted, was it 16th of the season, I think?
Yeah, and they didn't concede.
And they didn't concede again after two dreadful weeks. It is just not nice to watch. Just really not nice to watch.
I just didn't think there was anything like a game plan in terms of like who they kept trying to get the ball to no. create something. It seemed to me like it was just down the wing, try and feed the ball down the lines and get a cross in.
Yeah. Where Grimsby, and I've referred to it before, at the beginning of the season, they went on attack. Great to watch. Beat Gillingham. It was one of the games where I thought Grimsby would be in the playoffs. They've lost everything, and it's like they've lost all their confidence now. What they're doing, how they're playing, I don't recognise them. Like you said, there's no game plan.
All the bad things I can say about Grimsby and Newport were dire. Boring, terrible, yeah. Worse than Grimsby.
I think it's like the upcoming elections. You've got Conservatives and you've got Labour, and they're both shit. So you've just got to pick one out of the two. And with Grimsby and Newport, they were both shit. And one was lucky enough to score and the other one didn't.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It was not entertaining. It's a hard watch. Can't stand this David Attell. Can't stand the way that he sets the team out, and I can't stand the way that he's forewarned us that the changes is coming have not been reflected in the team performances. Yeah. And all we've been doing is losing. So it, to me, just hasn't worked. Grimsby played 41. We've got 43 points. Forest Green Rovers played 42, got 36 points. Still...
I think Forest Green are down. I think they're going... just whoever goes with them.
Yeah, Colchester have still got something to fight for because they've got some games.
Sutton United are still, I mean, they've had a good upturn, but they've played more games than everybody else.
But look at Sutton. Won four of the last five. Mm. Grimsby lost two, drawn two, won one. Terrible. Terrible.
Even Salford have been, they're coming down.
And they lost on the weekend as well, so they're not looking great. No. I think actually there are a handful of poor teams and Grimsby might just scrape out of that poor form, not because Grimsby are playing well, but just because so many around them are not doing particularly well either.
Yeah, I mean, you just looking at the league there, anyone who's 19th and above and Swindon are with 50 points, safe zone.
Yeah.
I think that is a safe zone.
Yeah, I think you need two more wins out of those last five games, I think.
Definitely two more, definitely. Whether we get them or not, I don't know.
Have Notts County got a bit of money?
No, I don't think they have. I think they just, the money that they got from coming up, they just invested in the right team to bring them up and to stay in that league.
Right.
Whereas I thought Grimsby had invested their FA Cup money into the best players to give us the opportunity to go into playoffs. But it just hasn't materialised. Just has not materialised. And looking like Notts County, that how you can score 83 goals and be mid-table is beyond me.
With a plus four.
Plus four, that's all they are, plus four. Because obviously they conceded 84 goals or whatever it is they've done. How do you allow that manager to carry on when you've got the forwards doing everything the forwards need to be doing, yet your back four are leaking in goals?
But you look at that league, 24 teams, 14 are on a minus goal difference.
Yeah.
What I'm curious to know, actually, maybe some people listening as well, Notts County gave Wrexham a run for their money last season, didn't they, to go up? It was like they were pretty much joint on points all the way until the end.
Yeah.
Wrexham have pushed on this year. Now they're head and shoulders above Notts County. Why haven't Notts County repeated what Wrexham have done?
Because I don't think they've had the investment.
So did Wrexham heavily invest again this year?
Yeah, they're in debt. But yeah, the two Americans put some more money in.
And Notts County didn't do that when they went up?
No, I think they invested the year that they went up, got the players that they needed. And it's helped sustain them in Div 2.
Notts County got that. Is it Longstaff, their striker? He's been smashing goals in the last few seasons.
Yeah, they're doing something right. I mean, they're sitting 15th and they've got 55 points after 42 games. But they've scored 80 plus goals and they've obviously conceded 80 plus goals. It's mental. It's mental that you say to your squad, you've got to score us 83 goals and we're going to get promoted. Yet they're sitting mid-table. I mean, Stockport County, 41 plus 41. Wrexham plus 24. MK Dons plus 16. Mansfield Town plus 37, sitting fourth. Barrow plus 12. Crewe plus 9.
Yeah, Langstaff is the top scorer in that league this season at the moment on 25.
Mental. You've got a top goal scorer and you're sitting mid-table. It's mental, that is. It's crazy, crazy, crazy figures.
Do you want to do best result, worst result first, and then do league table?
Can do.
It's up to you if you want it. Well, I've got one. I've got one. I think worst result.
Mansfield.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mm. Yep, Mansfield to be challenging up there for promotion to then go and lose 4-1 to Crawley.
Well, this has happened all the way through the leagues. You know that. Man City, whether it be Man City, Derby, Leicester, Stockport, Mansfield. It's weird. I had 700 quid that I could have won this weekend. I had Mansfield win. That's it.
Yeah, they cost me.
And they cost me the last time when they lost like 4-0, 5-0. When they lose big time. It's not like 1-0 or 2-1. It's like ship a load of goals.
And at home as well.
Be interesting because they got MK Dons at the weekend, haven't they? Who jumped them now table.
Is that who they got?
Yeah. Yeah. What about the best result? Same game.
A best result for Crawley, yeah. I think Wrexham. I think you've got to go Wrexham.
Mm.
Just keep pushing on and on and on. Come back. They don't have a great week. It doesn't seem to last long. And Wrexham then come back and win again away from home to Colchester United. Yeah, it's got to be the best result, I think.
I tell you what I'm shocked with as well. Mansfield Town were clear at the top with Stockport struggling. Mm. They're now sitting fourth in the league, 73 points, 41 played. Mm. And that's 7 points adrift of Stockport County when they had games in hand. I mean, for me, it's great because I need Wrexham to finish in the top two. If I was a Nigel Clough supporter or a Mansfield Town supporter, I'd be pissed at that. It's just not good at all, especially not with the score at this weekend as well. Anyway, Gazza, give us 5 from the top and Ollie 5 from the bottom.
Okay, League 2 table. First position is Stockport, played 41, 80 points. Second, Wrexham, played 42, 76 points. Third, MK Dons, played 43, 74 points. Fourth, Mansfield, played 41, 73 points. And Barrow, fifth, 41 played, 67 points.
Olivier.
20th place, Salford City, played 43, 47 points. 21st, Grimsby, played 41, 43 points. 22nd, Sutton United, played 43, 39 points. 23rd, Colchester, played 40, 38 points. 24th, Forest Green Rovers, played 42, 36 points.
Who do we think is going to go up on the promotion with Div 2?
Wrexham.
Stockport, Wrexham.
Yeah. It's that last place, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Mansfield have got the game. If they beat MK Dons at the weekend, they've got games in hand, haven't they? I think they might.
They've got two over MK Dons.
Yeah. So the big game this weekend is those two.
Yeah, it's one of those two, MK Dons, Mansfield. I think Barrow are probably too far off the pace.
Yeah, 6 points away from Mansfield at the minute. But level on games. So I can't see Barrow making up that. No. Five games. 5 games left. Is it
not
five?
But I think they've got to have some form going. They lost 2-0 on the weekend at home. So I don't think they've got the strength. I think it is MK Dons and Mansfield.
Yeah, I think you've got to realistically say with 2 games in hand, that would be Mansfield to finish third.
Mm.
Stockport to finish clear, 6 points, I'd imagine. Coming up next, League One Roundup.
You are listening to the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast. No bullshit. No bollocks. No fucking idea.
Gazza, you're up next. Time to shine. Have you shit yourself, Gazza? What's that fucking smell? Div 1 soccer results. Jeez.
Blackpool 1, Cambridge 0. Bristol Rovers 0, Bolton 2. Burton 0, Oxford United 4. Charlton 2, Barnsley 1. Exeter 1, Stevenage 0. Leighton Orient 3, Cheltenham 1. Northampton 2, Carlisle 0. Portsmouth 3, Shrewsbury 1. Reading 1, Lincoln City 1. Wigan 0, Port Vale 0.
Olivier, fixtures.
Skybet League 1, Saturday, April the 13th. Barnsley versus Reading. Bolton Wanderers versus Portsmouth. Cambridge United versus Charlton Athletic. Carlisle United versus Blackpool. Cheltenham Town versus Bristol Rovers. Derby County versus Leighton Orient. Fleetwood Town versus Northampton Town. Lincoln City versus Wigan Athletic. Oxford United versus Peterborough. Port Vale versus Exeter City. Shrewsbury Town versus Wickham. Stevenage versus Burton Albion.
The League One post-match stat pack is as follows. Portsmouth have gone 15 consecutive games unbeaten for a second time in League One this season, previously 16 from August to November. They're the first side to have multiple streaks of 15 plus without defeat in a single campaign in the third tier since Sheffield United in 2016-2017, also two. With 4-0 wins over Fleetwood Town and Burton Albion back-to-back, Oxford United have won consecutive league games by 4 goals for the first time since December 1984, where it was 4-0 v Cardiff and 5-0 v v Crystal Palace. Following 2-0 wins over Port Vale and Carlisle United, Northampton Town have won back-to-back league games by multiple goals for the first time since October 2023, 2-0 v Exeter City and 3-1 versus Reading. Charlton Athletic's Alfie May has scored 23 goals in 39 appearances in League One this season, equaling his record in a single EFL campaign in 7 fewer appearances, 23 in 46 games in 2021-2022. Exeter's Sonny Cox has been directly involved in 8 goals in League One this term, 5 goals, 3 assists, the second most of any teenage player after Shaq Ford, 10. And that is your post-match Division One stat pack, courtesy of the EFL. They must be listening to the show because they're getting better.
I've got one other result I can read, which happened on Sunday, which was the EFL trophy final between Peterborough and Wigan. Yeah, it was Peterborough 2, Wickham 1. 0-0 game in the final 5 minutes. Peterborough scored in the 85th minute. Taylor equalised in the 89th, and then Peterborough nabbed it in the 91st minute. So, yeah, Peterborough.
Very good. So you've got Bolton Wanderers who have scored 78 goals, Peterborough United 77 goals, and Barnsley third with 74 goals. And a little bit more trivia. Peterborough United have completed 22,060 passes, with Bolton Wanderers second with 20,525 and Portsmouth third with 20,289 passes. Who says we never give you the fucking news?
I think the best result from League One on the weekend has got to be Oxford United, 4-0 away from home. Very good.
And against third place Bolton.
No.
Burton?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Burton.
Oh, Burton, you said sorry. We said Bolton.
Oh, Burton. Sorry, Burton. Burton.
Cut that out.
Nah, keep it in. He will do.
You shouldn't be losing at home, no matter where you are in the league. I think if you're going to stay up, you've got to be winning games at home.
No, because if you're on a downward turn, you want to be playing anywhere else but at home, don't you? You want to be playing away. This is why the teams that struggle play better away, because you haven't got the home fans on your back.
No, you always want to be playing at home. You're stronger at home. It's like having, you know, a 12th man. You know, that's what they say. So
yeah, but not only when football fans are fickle, right? When it's going well, you're 12th man. When it's going bad, it's like having...
You'd rather play in another stadium where fans are screaming all sorts at you.
Yeah, because there's no pressure on you, is there? There's no pressure on you to perform. There's no pressure on you to do anything, because the majority of the fans are there for the away for the team that are at home. You're visiting.
I don't think you can give credit to a team that drew 1-1 at home. They should be getting at least a draw. That should be the minimal expectation of any team. Don't lose at home. So to say they did well against Lincoln, no. I think you should be at least getting a draw, and you should be trying to win it.
So what was the worst result? Charlton against Barnsley. I'd say that. Yeah. Charlton against Barnsley. Charlton winning 2-1 at home. Yeah. I'd say that was a decent result. And 2-1 up at half time as well. Looking where Charlton are, 16th, and Barnsley sitting. Where's Barnsley gone? I thought Barnsley. Hang on a minute.
Barnsley are fifth.
Fifth, yeah. I think that is a good result. Yeah. Charlton.
Okay. So there's your best result.
And there's your worst result.
And your worst result is Burton Albion.
There you go.
Top five, bottom five?
Yes. Olivier gave us a 5 from the top and Gaza 5 from the bottom.
First place, Portsmouth, played 42, 90 points. Second place, Derby, played 42, 82 points. Third place, Bolton, played 42, 81 points. Fourth place, Peterborough, played 40, 74 points. And fifth place, Barnsley, played 41, 74 points.
Bottom five, 20th position, Port Vale, played 41, 40 points. 21st is Burton, played 42, 40 points. 22nd is Cheltenham, played 40, 38 points. 23rd is Fleetwood, played 41, 34 points. And rock bottom, 24th is Carlisle, played 42, 27 points.
Thank you very much, Gazza. Coming up next, it's Gazza's GGG, Gazza's Golden Generation.
You're listening to Gazza, Soren, Oily Maguire and Dino on the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast. How they keep getting into the Apple UK podcast charts is beyond me. What does offside even mean?
You have one fucking shot, Gary. Don't fuck this up. Tell the listeners your England team of the decade. This is GGG.
Gazza.
Yes.
We are doing the 90s.
Yes.
The 90s. Can I try and predict your team?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for, in goal, Peter Shilton. Then I'm going to go at the back, Tony Adams, Stuart Pearce, Des Walker and Parker. Then in midfield, I'm going to go...
I've got 3 in midfield and 3 up front. I changed it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Gary Lineker up front, John Barnes up front.
No. because they were in my 80s team. John Barnes, Gary Lineker.
All right, then midfield, I'm going to go David Platt, Paul Gascoigne, Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Trevor or Gary?
Gary. And then up front, Gary Lineker, Peter Beardsley, John Barnes.
Well, those three strikers were in the 80s team, so it shows how much fucking notice you took of my last week's. But
no, but they can still go in the 90s.
But I'm trying to do it where I'm not picking the same players. Like, for instance, the 90s, I could have had Gary Neville because he started in 98, I think it was.
Yeah, Beckham. But he's more 2000s, yeah, aren't they? So, because yeah. I was thinking Shearer, but so he's probably more 2000s.
You were, the defence, you were virtually spot on. I was thinking about Parker, but I changed it. I'll read it out on this. Do you want me to read it out now, my team?
Do your team, Gaz. It's your segment.
Okay, here we go. England team of the 90s. So started off in goal. Who did you say? Oh, Shilton. Didn't you? Yeah, he was in my 80s team.
Yeah, but he was in the 90s.
I know.
Who are you going for then? Clement?
Seaman.
The 90s? Mm. Fucking hell. You know Seaman.
Mm-hmm. He looks all down your mouth. Anyway, goalkeeper. David Seaman, 75 caps. 40 clean sheets, the third most clean sheets of any England goalkeeper. So left back, Stuart Pearce, 78 caps, 5 goals. Centre backs, Tony Adams, 66 caps, 5 goals. Des Walker, 59 caps, no goals. Right back, I went Lee Dixon, 22 caps.
That's fair enough.
Midfield three. Yeah, I had to have Gazza in there. 57 caps, 10 goals. You were correct with Platt, 62 caps, 27 goals. Captain the team for a bit. And the third choice, I thought I better have someone, a bit of a holding player in there. So I went for Ince.
Paul Ince.
52 caps, 2 goals. And my front three.
Lineker, Defoe, Shearer.
Shearer, 63 caps, 30 goals. Teddy Sheringham, 51 caps, 11 goals.
Andy Cole.
Ian Wright, 33 caps, 9 goals.
Oh, yeah, I was surprised Shearer was in that one. I thought you would have put in more 2000s.
I think if you look at it, I don't know how many games, I'm going to look at it in a minute, how many games he actually played in the 2000s. I think he played more in the 90s. And my manager.
Bobby Robson.
No, he was my 80s manager.
Oh, Graham Turner.
So this guy.
David Plate.
22 games.
Kenny Dalglish.
No, sorry, 23 games in
charge. Oh, Sven Goran Eriksson.
11 wins, 11 draws, only one defeat. Terry Venables.
Eltel. I would have thought Eltel would have been 80s and Bobby Robson 90s.
Players I could have had in, I could have had Southgate, could have had Rio, could have had Neville, but I think more 2000s.
David Batty.
I couldn't put Sol Campbell in.
No. Not even with the best will in the world, no. You can't have him in.
Winterburn, but I preferred Pearce. So yeah, that's my team of the 90s.
Coming up next, Championship Roundup.
This is the Morning Kickoff Footy Podcast. It's like the Premier League. It's not for everyone. If you want to mention, shout out, or to tell us where in the world you are listening from, text the show on 0753 717 1722.
Championship fixtures. Friday night game, Rotherham 0, Plymouth 1. Saturday, Norwich 1, Ipswich 0. Blackburn 0, Southampton 0. Cardiff 1, Hull 3. Coventry 2, Leeds 1. Huddersfield 1, Millwall 0. Leicester 2, Birmingham 1. Middlesbrough 2, Swansea 0. QPR 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2. Stoke 2, West Brom 2. Sunderland 0, Bristol City 0. Watford 0, Preston 0.
Olivier, let's have the fixtures for the weekend, please, sir.
Saturday, April 13th, Leeds United versus Blackburn Rovers. Birmingham City versus Coventry City. Bristol City versus Huddersfield Town. Hull City versus QPR. Ipswich Town versus Middlesbrough, Millwall versus Cardiff City, Preston North End versus Norwich City, Sheffield Wednesday versus Stoke City, Southampton versus Watford, Swansea City versus Rotherham United, West Brom versus Sunderland.
And this is your Sky Bet Championship post-match stat pack courtesy of the EFL. Leicester City won for the 28th time in the Championship this season, which is now their second most victories in a league campaign in the club's history. Only in 2013-14, also in the second tier, have they won more matches in a league season, 31. Ipswich Town were beaten 2-0. What does that mean? Beaten 2-0.
They lost 1-0, so they lost.
Why do they say 2-0? Just fucking lost.
Yeah, just lost 1-0 or not 2-0, yeah.
Ipswich Town were beaten 1-0 in the Championship for the first time since December against Leeds United. With Saturday's defeat just the third time all season, they've lost and failed to score in a league match. 0-2 versus West Brom in November, 0-4 versus Leeds in December, and 0-1 versus Norwich on Saturday. All City have now won 10 away matches in the Championship this term, with each of their last four league victories coming on the road. It's just the third time that they've won 10 plus away matches in a second tier campaign after 10 in 1909, 1910, and 11 in 2012, 2013. Sheffield Wednesday have won 3 of their last 5 away games in the Championship, lost 2. As many victories as they've managed in the previous 26 away trips in the competition combined, drawn 2, lost 21. Ellis Sims has scored 15 goals in 20 appearances for Coventry City in 2024, the most of any player in England's top 4 tiers across all competitions this year. Tell you what, the worst result has got to be the one where Leeds lost.
Yeah, I was just saying, Leeds, Coventry, yeah. I mean, Coventry are 7th, but yeah, Leeds is a must-win game.
Really. It had to be. But hopefully now they'll go in, they'll be just outside the playoffs. They won't be doing anything this year. Little shout out there to Todd Turner.
Yeah, Leeds are a point behind Ipswich, same amount of games.
It's a close one.
Can we do a top 5? Or
go for it.
First place, Leicester, played 40, 88 points. Second, Ipswich, played 41, 87 points. Third, Leeds, played 41, 86 points. Southampton, 4th, played 39, 75 points. 5th, West Brom, played 41, 69 points.
20th place, Millwall, played 41, 44 points. 21st, Huddersfield, played 41, 43 points. 22nd, Birmingham, played 41, 42 points. 23rd, Sheffield Wednesday, played 41, 42 points. 24th, Rotherham, played 41. 23 points.
Let's just go to the bottom of that table because it's fascinating. I think it's a great competition at the top, and I think it's a great competition at the bottom. You've now got, other than Rotherham have fucked. Yeah. They're out. They're down now.
Yeah. 4 wins all season.
That's dismal. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, 12 wins. Birmingham City, 11 wins. Huddersfield Town, 9 wins. But from Sheffield Wednesday, who are sitting 23rd with 42 points, then going up as far as 15th, Swansea City, 47 points. 5 points separates them and relegation. I think that's crazy. I don't think I've ever seen a league like this. And then if you go to the top, Leicester at the top, Ipswich, Leeds United, Southampton. Top 3, Leeds, Ipswich and Leicester.
Yeah, it's 2 out of 3.
2 points. There's 2 points. Leicester have got a game in hand. There's going to be some more twists and turns with this. You just know there is. 2 games. So Southampton, I think they're
bit too far.
They're too far, aren't they? It's a 3-horse race at the top, but at the bottom.
It's funny as well in the Championship because, you know, like in the Prem, you're looking at who's got the easiest run in. Because they're so close between points, it's hard to look at that, like who Leicester would be playing next going, is that going to be an easy game? Because they're all going to be rifling for points. Most of them.
Yep.
They're all going to be going for it, thinking, we've got to get points to stay up. So it's like every game is like a final for both sides of the table.
Exactly that. And also what happens at the end of the season is players are playing for the contracts as well.
Do you think the Championship might be the most entertaining league for the next 3 weeks in the world?
Definitely. Better than Scotland, better than...
Obviously the Prem's good with what's going on.
No, the Prem is great.
Like up the top end, but the rest of it sort of found its feet now, hasn't it? You kind of know roughly who's going down. But this one, you're looking at the whole league going, you couldn't call it apart from Rotherham.
QPR, 4 points. Blackburn Rovers, 4 points. Swansea City, 5 points. Just 5 points between that and relegation.
Birmingham, I mean, what the fuck is going on? I mean, they're up near the top, weren't they? They sacked the manager and put Rooney in.
Yeah, how mad is that?
And then they got rid of Rooney. And
I think Birmingham was 5th when Rooney was appointed.
Yeah.
5th. Why would you put that granny bashing fucking Igor? It looks like a fucking
Shrek.
Of 9 teams fighting for relegation here.
Should we pick one now and we have to stick to it and then we'll reveal it at the end to see if any of us can get it right?
Well, they're all on level games at the bottom. So I'm going to go with... So we're saying Rotherham is gone. That's gone.
Yeah, so we need 23 points. So we need two more.
So I'm... Gazza, you're going to write this down. I'm going to go with Birmingham City because I just feel Birmingham City, after what they did with Wayne Rooney, they deserve to go down now. But I think Millwall will be bought into it as well.
Gary?
Are you there?
No, never look. Hang on.
Just give him a knock on the coffin.
I'm going to go... I'll go Sheff Wednesday and Huddersfield.
Olivier.
I'm going to go...
Speak.
Swansea and Plymouth.
Oh, Mike Lever, friend of the show. Plymouth Argyle.
Swansea's a bit of a shout because they are up a bit further, but lost on the weekend. Dodgy. Plymouth, I think, not great either.
Only 5 points between Sheff Wednesday and Swansea City. If I was Neil Warnock now, I'd be wanting that Sheff Wednesday job because it's not that hard to turn this around, is it? Just to get 11 lads who get paid phenomenal amounts to play football to do the one thing they love.
Millwall have clung on in there as well for years. How long have Millwall been in the Championship? Years and years.
Yeah.
Mid-table. Rubbish.
Yeah. I think Middlesbrough have lost out this year. Hull City, who have had a really good run of late, saying that. 1 win, 2 losses, 2 draws. it looks like Coventry are coming into a bit of form with 4 wins and 1 loss. So is Norwich City with 4 wins and 1 loss. 3 draws, 2 wins, West Brom. So they're coming out of form. Could be Norwich, Coventry, West Brom drop down. That's Tony Mowbray's old side, isn't it?
Yeah.
West Brom?
Yep.
Yeah. Leicester City and...
I still think Leeds are going to jump Ipswich.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, Squid had Ipswich. I'm going to back Squid on this. Anyone but Toddler Turner. And I'm going to hope and pray that Ipswich go second. And Leeds United hopefully will lose on the playoffs. Southampton. And it'll be a Southampton-Norwich City final.
Devious.
And then Norwich to get beaten by Southampton in the finals. So Leeds will stay in the Div 1. In the Championship. They used to be in the Premier League, but it's not for everyone.
Apparently.
I don't think Toddler liked it, but it is what it is. Coming up next, it's Oily Maguire's VAR.
You're listening to the Morning Kickoff Podcast. Find us all on the socials. Insta at MKO Show UK, TikTok MKO Show, Twitter MKO Show UK, or text the show on 0753 717 1722. Start your text with MKO.
Next up on MKO, the man, the myth, the fucking dull and droning legend in his own mind, annoying cunt, Oily Maguire.
You know what? I think I want more right now.
This week I was going to talk about VAR being implemented into the game. There's loads of controversy about it. Who likes it? Is it good for the game? Is it bad for the game? And it made me think about what other technology has been brought in that we like or don't like into the game.
Goal line technology.
So that's the other main one, isn't it? Goal line technology. So I looked into that a little bit. It was actually opposed quite a lot by FIFA at the beginning, roughly around 2011. It was first mentioned, our favourite FIFA representative who no longer spoke about, Sepp Blatter. Hated goal line technology. He wanted the human error to be something that was included into the game because it was a talking point, basically, that people would talk about. And I guess if you're head of a business, you want people to constantly talk about it. So goal line decisions were something that was good for the business of FIFA, basically. So Sepp Blatter didn't like it. But then the changing moment, I'm going to see if you two can think of possibly one of the most recent famous ones where goal line technology wasn't in the game at the time. What do you think? Where Seb changed his mind?
Frank Lampard definitely scored against the Germans and it was not given.
Correct. That was the moment.
Was it?
Yeah, where Sepp Blatter, after that, came out and said, we probably need goal line technology.
Yeah, because that you could see from the TV... how far back that ball had gone. That I've always said from that point, you've got to have some kind of goal line technology, especially when you've got the Hawkeye with tennis and they can dictate where a ball is. Now,
So we don't have any complaints really about goal line technology anymore, do we?
Like, no.
We would all agree, I think, across the board and probably all football fans, goal line technology was a good thing for football.
Goal line technology is good for football on the whole. What is frustrating is the minimal amount left when you've got 99.9% of the ball past the line.
Yeah.
That's what I don't agree with.
Yeah. So that's the bit that we said.
Contentious.
Yeah. Whether if the majority of the ball was crossed the line, we would say that should when it should ping.
Three quarters of the ball past the line.
His watch should buzz when that happens. Yeah, I agree with that. So do you think VAR is a good thing
for
the game?
No.
The idea is probably good, but the way it's implemented and the way it's happening at the moment is shocking.
Well, recently this week, Lucas Brudd, who is the head CEO at IFAB, has come out and said that VAR is not the end product and what we see at the moment is not what they aim for VAR to be. So we should all just get used to it. There might be teething problems at this stage, but there will be an end product at some stage. So then they asked him, they said, well, when is the end product likely to be? And he said, it could be 10 years.
You can't carry on killing the game like this. Players now, instinct is to react to scoring.
Celebrate, yeah.
Yeah, you celebrate. You run to your home team, you run to your players, you run to whoever. You score, you celebrate, and then it's like a 10-minute delay.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't just, this is why it should go into women's game and then go into non-league.
You can't have something out there now and say,
ten years.
In 10 years' time, it might be perfect. Then
it's going to take 10 more seasons.
But stop moaning because it's here to stay. Here's what he's come out and said. You're not going to get, we're not getting rid of it. So stop going on about it. But I'm also going to tell you in the same breath, it's not great at the moment, but it might be better in a few years' time.
Awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful.
So the International Football Association board have urged officials as well to not be too forensic when judging offsides. We need to stress clear and obvious applies to every situation. That's a quote that IFAB have come out and said as well.
Yeah, it should be clear and obvious. And I think all this deciding if someone's offside by a finger,
which
crazy.
Yeah. So
crazy.
That's
a killing it.
So that's a good thing. They are saying don't be too forensic with it. So I think we will see next the, I think they are doing that, aren't they, where it's not going to be like a finger or a toenail. It has to be a whole person.
It's supposed to be more of the person offside than what it is.
So that's the next change. Part of his 10-year plan into bringing it in.
That is mental. When they can just put it into the women's game and like the semi-pro side of the game, monitor it there and see how it gets on there. Or even in the lower leagues, you put it into the lower leagues and see how they get on with it. Women's lower leagues, obviously, not men's.
So my last point on VAR technology, and I wanted to know what you guys think of this. Do you think VAR decisions that we get to see on Monday Night Football should be broadcast live on TV and in the stadiums?
Yeah, because there's no understanding of how they're arriving to the result. And I know they're releasing the sound bites now of what the refs are saying, like the referees as a whole, like five or six of them doing the VAR, and the communication between line, ref, and the back room. But there's no understanding as to why stuff is given offside. So you should hear what, it should be transparent, completely transparent, what they're looking at. I know we see the crosshairs now, which hopefully will stop. We should know the reasons as to why.
So IFAB Chief, I don't know which, whether that's Lucas, the main guy, I would assume Chief should be him, but doesn't say whether it is, just says IFAB Chief. He said that we should not be broadcasting live VAR decisions because it would be too chaotic for referees, and referees need to feel safe when they are focused on decision making. So after calls for greater transparency, he's come out and said it's not going to happen.
Then you're only going to get more and more frustrated as the decisions come in. That's the only thing that I can see, because there's no transparency, there's no understanding, and sometimes some of these rules that they're officiating on don't make sense.
Do you think his quote of need to feel safe, referees need to feel safe, do you think that's an unsafe environment if you can hear what they're saying in this on the stadium tannoy and you're like, the decision's going again?
I can see as to why he feels it would make a referee feel unsafe, because if you made the decision like they did with that massive fuck up a few months ago where was it Liverpool's goal was disallowed but he was actually onside, he was telling the referee it's a free kick and he allowed the goal, something like that. The refs need to be able to confidently predict, but this is what they're getting paid 40 grand a year for, confidently pick under pressure and duress, but without any threat.
Do you think fans are responsible enough not to get violent if the decision goes the wrong way?
No, listen, you've got, when you go into any high street shop and you see Domestos, it says on the side, do not drink. Once they take them labels off and they can trust these people not to drink Domestos, you can then say that fans won't be responsible, you know, or can be responsible at football matches.
So your decision with that would be do not broadcast it live currently?
Currently, do not broadcast it live, but
until fans with, stop drinking Domestos.
You stop drinking Domestos.
So finally, and this will just lead me on to what we're hoping to do next week. They have said that the officiating overall for referees has, the standard has dropped compared to years before.
Is this just in the Prem?
This is in general, which as a slight, maybe still a referee.
Do you think it's just talking about you?
They might be, but as a referee of such in very low grassroots kids football, I take offence to that a little bit, and meeting other referees as well, because I don't think the standard from the people that I've met doing it has dropped. I think referees genuinely want to try and get it right, and it's not easy.
Going back to professional game, it's getting quicker anyway, isn't it? So it must be getting more difficult making that split second decision.
I've got to say that the way that the Premier League linesmen and the Premier League referees, when they get these televised games decisions right on field, it's unbelievable. I think the standard that they're setting by getting these decisions correct in such a quick environment is unreal. I genuinely wouldn't be able to do that. I have a quick 1 or 2 seconds process in it, but the way that they know immediately if that ball's deflected or changed its flight path after a tackle. I know obviously it's different on ground level than what it is to watching it on TV, but I just applaud them for what they do when they get the decisions right. I just think at the moment, the way things are just not right. and they're playing with one of the greatest games in the world, which is in this country.
Yeah. There you go. That is VAR for this week.
Thank you very much. As always, entertaining. It's anything but a very annoying report. I always love your bits, Ollie. Coming up next, the main event.
You're listening to the Morning Kickoff Podcast. Find us all on the socials. Insta at MKO Show UK, TikTok MKO Show, Twitter MKO Show UK, or text the show on 0753 717 1722. Start your text with MKO.
This is it, the main fucking event. The Premier League roundup, news, views, and predicting wrong scores. Dumbasses, enjoy.
Saturday, 6th of April, Crystal Palace 2, Manchester City 4, Aston Villa 3, Brentford 3, Everton 1, Burnley 0, Fulham 0, Newcastle 1, Luton 2, Bournemouth 1, Wolves 1, West Ham 2, Brighton 0, Arsenal 3. Sunday, Manchester United 2, Liverpool 2, Sheffield United 2, Chelsea 2, Tottenham 3, Nottingham Forest 1.
Olivier, I have the fixtures for next week, please. Sir, in your own time.
I was just seeing if there was a game on Friday. There's not. Saturday, April 13th, Newcastle United versus Tottenham. Brentford versus Sheffield United. Burnley versus Brighton. Man City versus Luton. Come on, Luton. Nottingham Forest versus Wolves. Bournemouth versus Manchester United. And Sunday, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. West Ham United versus Fulham. And Arsenal versus Aston Villa.
Ollie, tell me about Arsenal at the weekend being your team. And top of the league.
Yeah, I mean, superb against Brighton.
Wouldn't expect anything else. Just superb.
They were. They were
by far the best. They're going to win the league.
No, they were so good. Any games that were coming up, Brighton was one of them that you would look at out of that list and go, they could slip up there. Every tackle, everything they're doing. Arsenal fans are the most annoying fans. Arsenal fans are the most annoying fans.
Your midgety little guy in goal has had 12 clean sheets, David Raya.
He's up there for like the Golden Glove.
Jordan Pickford, the Tyrannosaurus Rex with little arms, is 9 clean sheets. Bernard Leno, Joel Cross's team, FFC. 8 clean sheets. Andre Banana, 8 clean sheets. Edison, 8 clean sheets. Alisson Becker, 7 clean sheets. Martinez, 7 clean sheets. Neto, 7. Sam Johnston, Crystal Palace, 6. Gazza. You went to see the Spurs play.
I did, yeah. Yeah, the game started off, Spurs started off as they usually do on the front foot, went up one up in front with their own goal. VAR had a look at it, maybe thought he was offside, but no, so 1-0 up. And then we stopped, Forrest started getting on top. We sort of looked a bit lacklustre again, conceded 1-1. And then Chris Wood missed an absolute sitter, which would have put them 2-1 up. Hit the post from about 3 yards out. Half time, Ange decided to bring off both centre midfield players, brought on Højbjerg and Bentancur, changed it completely, and won. Well, come out 3-1 winners. Key van der Ven scored an absolute screamer, and Pedro Porre got the third one about 10 minutes after. So, yeah, good 3 points. We needed that because the Newcastle away next weekend is going to be a tough. Then we've got the 2 weeks off, then it's Arsenal.
You climbed a spot in the league, didn't you?
Yeah, fourth so. Now, yeah.
Why have we got 2 weeks off?
Because Man City are in the FA Cup, so Spurs haven't got a game against City's cancelled.
All right. I'm going to give you some stats, actually.
Nice.
Goals scored in the Premier League. And with 19 goals, Erling Haaland. 18 goals, Ollie Watkins. 17 goals, Mohamed Salah. And with 16 goals, Cole Palmer. We don't do assists. We're not doing it. I don't even fucking assists. This is like doing XGs. Bullshit. Clean sheets, as we've already gone through. David Raya, little diddy man. 12 clean sheets. Jordan Pickford, no arms. 9 clean sheets. Bern Leno, 8 clean sheets. And Andres Banana, 8 clean sheets. And this is awful. This is goals scored, 75, Arsenal. Second, Liverpool, 72. Third, Man City with 71 goals. Wins, Arsenal, 22. Liverpool, 21. Man City, 21. Aston Villa, 18. Tottenham, 18. Losses. Burnley with 21 losses. Sheffield United with 21 losses. Luton with 19 losses. Brentford with 17. Notts Forest with 17. Crystal Palace with 15. I thought Crystal Palace played quite well against Man City in the first half anyway.
Yeah.
Went 1-0 up, but seems to have changed it from what Woy was doing. Woy Hodgson seems to have changed it a bit. And they were celebrating the fact that, you know, they lost 4-2, but they celebrated the goals. And they're playing a different style now. So I think Crystal Palace fans have got a lot to look forward to with the new guy in charge.
Glasner. Yeah, they've got 30 points. I think they'll be all right.
Do you want to do top bottom?
Yeah.
You can do the top as it's your team.
Yep. Top of the league. Arsenal.
Yep. Top of the league.
Arrogancy. You were fucking
there
right.
You go. That's why everyone hates fucking Arsenal fans. Yep. Top of the league.
Can I carry on?
No.
No.
Do it again.
I'll do the top.
Gazza, do the top, will you?
No, I need to do the top.
Go on. Why?
Because I don't know when I'll get to say it again.
God. What,
not at the end of the season then.
Well, it might not happen after this week, so I'm going to do it. Top of the league, first place, the summit. Arsenal fans are the most annoying fans. Arsenal fans are the most annoying fans. Arsenal fans are the most annoying fans. Second place, Liverpool. 31 plays, 71 points, doesn't really matter. Third place, Man City, 31 points, 70. No, 31 played. Played, 70 points. Boring stuff, unless you're top. Gary, bottom.
You're not doing fourth place then, you wanker.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? All right, I'll do it. Fourth place, Tottenham. 31 played, 60 points.
Thank you. What do you want, the bottom five, Dino?
Yeah.
16th spot, Everton. Played 31, 27 points. 17th position, Nottingham Forest. Played 32, 25 points. 18th position, Luton. Played 32, 25 points. 19th, Burnley. Played 32, 19 points. And bottom, Sheffield United. Played 31, 16 points.
It was disgraceful how Chelsea drew to war with Sheffield United. Disgraceful. Should never have happened.
Funny.
After what they did against United as well.
It's just crazy.
There's even a part of me that just kind of wants to like root Chelsea on to try and get going again because they're just so painful to like.
It's like watching Grimsby. It's painful. Yeah. Really is painful.
Just get on with it. Like get going. Get the wheels turning. Every time you think you get a chance to like get a bit of momentum, he just balls it up again. They are the most frustrating team in the Premier League. So we should probably touch on Everton getting the 2-point deduction. They have appealed it.
They have, defo.
Yes.
I find that mental that Notts Forest have appealed it, and I find it mental that Everton are appealing it, because Leicester also are going to get some points deducted.
Yeah. Yeah, they're being looked at, aren't they? That's where they come up, though, isn't it? But won't count when they're in the Championship, I think.
I don't know. I've no idea what goes on with it. I have no idea what's happening with the FFP for Leicester, but I guess it's their last year accounts that they submitted. Well, they're talking about calling it a luxury tax and not deducting points.
Okay.
Mm. Should we do best and worst result from the Premier League?
Worst result has got to be Chelsea, Sheffield United, 2-2 draw.
Or I would say Liverpool United. They were all over them. They should have gone on to win. And
who?
Liverpool.
Do you reckon?
The worst result of the weekend.
I think worst and best result is both.
Yeah, you could do it. Spin it round.
Best result for Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Getting points at Chelsea when they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And Liverpool, worst result, get drawing at Man United when they were all over them the entire game.
How did we get on with the results last week?
Ollie, you scored a fantastic zero.
Brilliant.
I only got one this week, which was the Luton result. Dino got two. It was the Luton result and the Burnley game. And our friend Sorin got four.
No way.
And he even predicted the 4-3 Chelsea. How the fuck did he manage that?
Don't let him listen to this.
I'll edit it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edit it Sorin, out. You didn't get any right, really.
Yeah, put that in.
Yeah. You didn't get any right.
Sorin.
So I got the most. I got 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ollie got nine. And
nine.
I got
eight. Four.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorin, none.
Zero. Yeah, can't have him winning a football tournament and winning.
No, not in the space of the same 2 weeks.
No.
Absolutely not.
What have we got fixture-wise coming up?
Newcastle versus Tottenham.
At Newcastle as well. So I would say for that one, Newcastle 3-1.
I'm going to go 1-1.
I'm going to 2-1 Tottenham.
2-1 Tottenham. 2-1.
You ready? Or do you need to tell you them again?
What was yours, Ollie?
1-1.
What's yours, Dino?
That's 3-1 Newcastle.
Okay. Next one is Brentford, Sheffield United.
Brentford 3-0.
Ollie?
Brentford 2-0.
3-1 Brentford.
Burnley versus Brigerton. Burnley 2-1.
Brighton 3-1.
2-1 Brighton.
Man City, Luton.
Man City 4-0.
I'm going to go 3-0.
I'm going to go 4-1 Man City. Nottingham Forest, Wolves.
2-2.
2-1 Wolves.
2-1 Forest.
Bournemouth versus Man United. Bournemouth 2-0.
2-2.
United can't lose again. 2-0 United.
United. Sunday, 2 p.m. Liverpool, Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, 2-1.
3-1 Liverpool.
2-0 Liverpool. West Ham, Fulham.
Joel Cross.
London Derby.
In the shithole rented London Stadium. Fulham have been poor, haven't they? And so have West Ham, to be fair.
They say European football this week, West Ham, haven't they?
Have they? Probably going to go for the European, the best players, and rest the other players. Fulham 2-0.
1-1.
Yeah, I had 1-1.
Arsenal versus Aston Villa at the Emirates Barbershop.
Don't like the look of this game. Just don't like Emery. Like a nemesis. 2-1 Arsenal. 2-1.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a 3-1 Arsenal.
3-0 Arsenal.
And last but not least, Chelsea versus Everton on Monday, the 15th of April. Chelsea 3, Everton 0.
3-1 Chelsea.
3-2 Chelsea.
And I split my killer winnings at the weekend. We got £400 each.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. And I went with, had I have not split it, I was going to go with Bournemouth v Luton, and he was going to go Everton. So had I chose to carry on as I was,
would have lost.
I would have lost, and he would have won it all.
That's it.
I think that concludes, unless anyone's got anything else they want to say.
No.
No.
I think we've signed off now.
You've rinsed it. From me and the guys, that wraps up another episode. What are we on, episode 16?
Yeah.
Episode 16. Thank you all for listening. If you'd like to subscribe, we don't mean pay, just follow the program on your chosen podcast listener. That would be great. Then you'll be alerted as to when the episode becomes available, when it first comes out. So that just leaves me, Ollie, and Gazza to say thank you very much and goodbye.
Ciao.
Goodbye and thanks for listening.
Duty. Well, that went quicker than I expected.
All that talk of football, I nearly fell asleep. Anyway, if that's what you like,
if this is your bag, if you can cope with the droning noise of Oily Maguire, then tune in next time for more of the same old bollocks.
Leave a review, subscribe, share, and tell your friends.
Thank you for listening.
And Sunday...
Bless you.
And Sunday...
One this term, five.
What the fuck was that?
Someone shouting outside. Kids out there, isn't it?
Cunts. Fucking hate kids.
It's a Sorin's chair.
It's weakened.
There you go, it's weakened.
It's weakened.
That's fucked that right up. Might as well bin that. Amount of fucking stress it has to take on a fucking Monday.
Welcome to episode 16, and today we have no Sorin because he is fucking tired and I've forgotten what I was going to say.
Can't swear right at the beginning.
I know.
Can't swear right at the beginning.
I got halfway through and then froze. Hang on. Let's put this down.
Coming up next. Oh, is it Championship? Is it just the Championship?
Easter Monday.
Fuck off. Is it just the Championship?
Or Easter Monday. Yeah, Championship, then yeah. Premier.
Yeah,
and
then
just the Championship.
Championship and then main event.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 16, and we have no Sorin this week because he's due to... Oh, fucking hell.
Just have to say there's no Sorin.
Just say no Sorin, okay.
There's no Sorin today.
And then do the cheering sound effect.
Oh, yeah. Or that one.
But the fucking cunt.
Pigeon.
Crawley Town have won 4 consecutive away games for the first time in the Football League after Crawley Town have won 4 consecutive away games for the first time in the Football League after a bit different, but the fucking cunt. And this is your Skybet Championship post-match snack pack. Snack. With today's, you fuck pig. Did they play Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was the early game.
So this week I was going to bring in...
Hang on, do it again.
Okay.
So the music's just come in. Yeah. Gaz, Ollie, sorry. Legend.
Thank you for that.
Can't come in with a...
No.